Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We got a great doubleheader today. Robert Esme, the Speed Doctor, Olympic and world champion sprinter, motivational speaker. He returns, along with Kellyanne Peterson, PhD, family therapist, former high-performance athlete mom. Then it's the Sports Doctor's In with some Bob Guider wisdom in your emails. Robert Esme, welcome back to the Sports Doctor. Robert, give us some background. I'm going to let you speak up a little bit louder, if you would. Give me some background on you and your Olympic history.
A little bit of backdrop. I was born with speed out of the belly. My mom said it was one of the fastest delivered of all time. Grew up in Jamaica at an early age, working on my agility, catching some chickens and goats in the yard, my foot speed. I took that speed and landed into Canada, opened up my legs a little bit more and drive my knees, became one of the fastest men in the country. And those talents took me onto the world stage where I was attained. One of the fastest 40 meters of all time, 50 meter world number one ranked, and then world champion in the relay, Olympic champion again in the relay, and another world championship. They'll say champion of champion. I've learned to be a champion on and off the field.
It's commendable how you've shared so much information on all aspects of that type of high performance and coming from the background that you did, and we talk about that a lot on the Sports Doctor, Robert, as you know, the high achievers, the idea there isn't a sport around that doesn't benefit from enhanced speed, from enhanced quickness. And for years, Robert, we would have individuals, doctors, experts, therapists talk about, can you really train and enhance speed? And, of course, as the speed doctor, you're saying absolutely you can. True?
Absolutely. Speed come in all shapes, size, and form. Arm speed, hip speed, leg speed, foot speed. Everyone has an X amount of speed, but we can teach how to speed that up and take it to the next level with technique, proper conditioning, proper training environment. You use a lot of sand training. I use a lot of that in my base work and then also sand dunes. A lot of quickness and explosive with my football players. It can be taught. It can be developed. But you got to come with the desire and the passion to put the work in to get faster.
Now, of course, you include one of the biggest topics that as a sports podiatrist we talk about all the time. You make a big deal out of the biomechanics, about
Absolutely.
The role of orthotics, the role of strengthening the feet and ankles themselves besides just pounding them. And talk a little bit about the attention you pay to that type of criteria when, again, you're dealing with the athlete regardless of their sport. You know, are they flat-footed? Do they have high arches?
Is
their
leg
length equal? All of these criteria, right, Robert?
Yeah, absolutely. In the sprinting world, I would say at least 60% of the athletes has flat foot. But don't forget, as a child, we were born naked and flat foot, right? And then all of a sudden, we put them in shoes and at an early age. So the development of the feet now becomes a brace. And that is why it's not as strong. So as an adult and teenagers, we have to go back and strengthen those feet. And that's why I love the sand training, the development of that. But your foundation, and when we're looking at athletes, it starts from the feet up, right? Just like in your world. So if the alignment is off, if the structure is off, the support or the cushioning is off, everything's going to be off. It's just like having a car with a bit of pressure releasing from the tire. And if you end up with a blown tire, you know the car definitely is not going to roll properly. So it's the same thing we got to assess from the feet up, just like in your world.
Absolutely. When we're talking about the two things that matter to everybody, whether you're the best athlete, whether you're their parents, whether you're their coach, number one, can I stay out of trouble? Can I prevent injuries? There's an epidemic of overuse injuries, mentally and physically, in the world of youth sports. Epidemic with all this pressure on these kids. But the other area is, can you enhance performance? Can you make a difference in the positive direction, quicker, faster, more agile, better balanced? And the what is the website, Robert, people can go to find out about you and your work?
Well, right now we are focusing on Critique. So with Critique, it's a personalized feedback video on demand, experts waiting to help you improve on what you're doing. It could be from the biomechanical.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a proud participant in Critique. In order to be able to give, again, these types of recommendations for parents and or coaches in the area. Again, what's the best shoe for my son or daughter? Or, you know, what about rubber band exercises for the feet and ankles? And how much balance and proprioceptive work should we be doing? And the sports doctor answer is all of it. Yes. When we come to the tell us a little bit. What about what was Air Blast Off?
For us at Air Blast Off, we do some of the in-person training with some of the athletes. I do workshop and camps, and then from there, a lot of those guys, when I do a camp, I don't have access to them anymore or build a relationship. So they go over the Critique, upload their content, and we keep in touch that way and see their improvement and help them out on that other side. So it's a great opportunity for those athletes to be able to connect not only to myself but other experts, because I'm expert in certain areas, and in biomechanics and the medical side, that's where you come in handy, right? Looking at the structure, looking at what's going on.
The mental game is a huge component of topics on the Sports Doctor. Again, whether we're talking about someone who's trying to stick to their exercise program, we're talking about somebody who's trying to follow through on high performance and the kinds of pressures many times that are involved. It's the biggest topic in the world right now is mental health, the biggest. And we're going to talk more about it with Robert Esme, Olympic champion, speed champion, the speed doctor, everybody. You're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years. What were the topics? International guests, national guests, local guests, all areas of sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. If you go to newspaper articles and magazines, you read about an array of important information, whether it is about the world of concussions, whether it's the world about specialization, a lot of excitement with the new MVP Parent magazine. We have thousands and thousands of followers. We publish a lot of great sports medicine information. If you want to jump in, at Sports Doc, DOC Radio, we're talking with Olympic champion Robert Esme, sprinting speed champion, bringing a lot of that into the mental side when he's working with athletes, their parents, their coaches. So it brings me, Robert, to my next question. When you're dealing, of course, with families, coaches, parents, how's your sports psychology skills, my friend?
You know, as coaches,
how's that
we
going?
Have a lot of hats that we wear. And definitely the psychological side is very important. So me training an athlete, I try to put a support system around them. This is your medical crew. It's like a Formula One, right? This is your physical trainer. This is your strengthening trainer. And I put the best of the best around them, because I want them to be successful. And in training, I've always said it's about 70-80% physical and 20% mental. When you get to competition, it's flipped, right? It's all about the mental piece, because if physically, if you're not ready to go, you shouldn't be there, right? And that's where the mindset, when you go into a call room, looking at other people intimidating you, maybe spitting over there, there's a false start. How do you mentally overcome these challenges. And we practice that weekly with the athletes and different things, but it's important for them,
Robert,
to have a
what are
mental,
the,
psychological
what is the, just in general, therapist. In general, what's the age groups you pay attention to, and what roughly is the male-female ratio in your world, just like in general?
In my world that I coach, I start at age 5 and above, similar to Jamaica, because I like to be able to get the foundation and the fundamental at an early age of the development. So if you can create great habits, you're going to have a greater athlete and a faster athlete at an early age. In my group, anyway, for some reason, I don't know why, but 80% of my clientele are females. It's just, I guess, the way I relate, the way I communicate with them. But it's like they define me. Like, this is my coach. This is who I want to work with. So I guess I'm blessed in that way because being a father of a daughter and, you know, all the other athletes, I had to learn
I'll
to
tell
develop
you, know, Robert, people. I'll tell you what I make a big deal about forever on The Sports Doctor, which is the young female body, which develops as the hips widen.
That's
there's
right.
a difference in hormonal compartment regarding flexibility. And when mm-hmm. we see this 5-to-1 still ratio of ACL knee injuries, girls to boys, that doesn't even start till around puberty, we pay big attention to foot mechanics. We
yeah.
pay big attention to proper alignment. And even though we might want a custom optimum orthotic for the sports shoes, we mm-hmm. want to include that barefoot training. We want Bob Guider, the famous sports therapist who I worked with for 40 years, would pay such big attention to including, you know, running on a golf course, running mm-hmm. on the beach, working those feet, training and strengthening those particular areas. And
yeah.
yet, again, in the female athlete, there are these kinds of differences. I'll bet you pay big attention to that, don't you?
Absolutely. And yeah, I've always said, you know, people should have more than one or two different orthotics because different activity require different shoes, require different orthotics, which behave differently. So if they always
yes,
can afford a couple, it's for them
yeah,
to get a couple.
You'd be surprised how often we'll use the same flexible plastic device in her figure skates as well as in her sneakers or in his running shoes as well as his football shoes. The idea being, again, is the characteristics of the alignment and the how much running are you still doing, Robert?
Forrest Gump can beat me right now. I do a lot of demonstration with the athletes, but myself, that's something for 2023. I want for me to take more, I guess, personal health check and make sure I'm doing okay because I'm training everyone else and neglecting my own self. So I'm going to take more self-care for 2023.
I agree with you. I'm signing on with that. I think it's such a key point. Again, as we many times see, so much attention to mental health that it's okay to not be okay, whether
That's
we're
right.
talking about Michael Phelps, whether we're talking about Simone Biles, two world champions who allowed this topic to come up. And when we would start to see the better the young athlete, the more pressure many times they're under either to specialize or to put up with this win-at-all-costs. You know, we're still dealing all the time, Robert, with the overzealous parent on the sidelines or the overzealous coach. We're all familiar with what went on in gymnastics
yeah.
as well as what's gone on in soccer. Now even the experts in cheerleading I had on my show over the past month talking about this, the challenge of sexual exploitation. This is a big, big topic when we're dealing with the mental health of these young athletes. And
Absolutely.
It's finally coming out of the closet big time, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely agree. There's a lot of different factors happening. But one thing parents and athletes should know, it's about the personal self-development. At the end of the day, everything will fall into place. The personal growth, it's okay to take a day off. It's okay to regroup, and right? And you're going to have ups and downs. It's okay to have downs and to get back up. So they just have to know that and know that.
You know,
the
one of our biggest topics, Robert, again, is rest and recovery. I call it on the Sports Doctor, again, intelligent rest, the importance of recovery, especially in this high-performance, overkill environment. Have you felt that the medical community, Robert, and the coaching community, as well as parents, have come a long way, baby, in understanding how important these parts of the training are?
I think they've made some progress, especially in the mental health area. They're finally connecting both the gaps together. But still, overall, when parents are developing a program for the kids, they have to put all the pieces in place, the mental, the emotional, the physical, and their own kids' happiness, social component of it. So that way you can have a complete balance of that student athlete or that athlete training. You have to put all the pieces
together. That's what critique.com is all about, that, right? You have a compilation.
That's right, my friend.
What are some of the areas of the participants quickly in critique? What are some of the areas that you're including?
We're including from sports psychologists, nutritionists, athletes from all different sports, the business category, resumes, or movies, films, name it. We're in every singing. Anything that you want to work on and get better, we can do it. Like, for instance, an athlete will come for sports and end up going to see a sports psychologist that they never had access to.
Yes. Robert, give me quickly.
I have a hobby of music.
What's the website? Quickly give me the website.
Critique.com, CRITIQ.com.
CRITIQ.com, world champion Olympian Robert Esme. As usual, the time flies when we have this guy on. Robert, please hold on. We'll be right back, everybody, to Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. We want to welcome Kellyanne Peterson, PhD. She's a family therapist. She's a former high-performance athlete mom, crisscross parenting coach. Kellyanne Peterson, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here, Sports Doctor. I love what you guys do.
Thank you. You know, the topic of family values, the topic of family interaction in the world of sports is gigantic. The coaches, the parents, the kids, et cetera, all these challenges multiplied times 1,000 since the whole pandemic world. Give us some background, if you would, Kelly, on yourself and the world of parenting coach.
Well, I had a son who, in kindergarten, when he first put his foot to a soccer ball, I was already pulled aside and said, this guy's actually got some talent. We don't usually say that about kindergartners, but he actually can dribble the ball and get it in the net instead of just follow the ball around.
Hey, sports parents. Right.
And you know, from there, it just went on and on and on. I mean, he played on the Olympic developmental team in high school. We traveled all over the place, no matter what state we lived in. He was always on a travel, you know, high-level
soccer team. And you specialized very early. You know, there's a chapter in my book, Hashtag A Sports Parents. It's called The Prodigy Sports. Even though we tell people all day long, have your kids play different sports that don't specialize, et cetera, but soccer is one of the sports, like figure skating, gymnastics, where we see very, very early serious specialization. Was your boy one of those?
He really was. He did play football for one season and decided he did not like being at the bottom of a pile. And
good point.
He did basketball, and he enjoyed basketball, but soccer was his thing. Like, he would spend hours and hours practicing dribbling. A funny story is we moved into a new city area, and he went down to a park, and there were some older bully kids down there harassing some young elementary school kids. And my son went over to these bullies and said, hey, if I can dribble this ball, like bounce it on my head and things like that, 100 times will you leave these kids alone and stop harassing them at the park? And they were like, you'll never do it. You know, he did 120 just to prove himself. just my son.
Great story. Yes. So, again, you know, the challenge of a high-performance athlete, young boy or girl, we've come a long, long way, baby, in some of the many positive aspects, the challenges. Of course, the reason I co-authored the book was the epidemic, in capital letters, everybody, the epidemic of overuse injuries, both physically and mentally, in youth sports, let alone the world of concussions. And those are the kinds of problems that you dealt with big time, didn't you?
Yes, I did. The first thing I dealt with was, especially when my son went into middle school and his body started changing and becoming more gangly, we had to find more coordination skills. And this is where I started doing the crisscross jumping jacks, is what I call them, where instead of putting both legs out and both arms out at the same time, we do the opposite. We'll put the left leg out, the right arm out, and then switch, you know, right leg, left arm, and you do it in kind of a fast, quick motion. The coaches used to be like, well, we say do jumping jacks, and my son noticing a huge difference in his ability to play, stay coordinated, when he was emotionally distressed in a game because, you know, everybody was either blaming the refs or the other team for bad calls. You know, he would take a few seconds to do these, and it would not only bring his emotions in line, but it would bring his coordination back up, and he could focus and finish the game. And that was super, super imperative later when he wound up getting the concussion syndrome that we talk about mostly with football players, but it's very common with soccer as well. It actually helped him be able to rebuild some of the damage that was done.
Do you believe that in the world of soccer, that it was the collision part of this game or the heading part of the game that contributed to concussion concerns with your son? Or both?
Well, both. But one of the things that was the most significant is frequently he had coaches who would say, juggle the ball on your head, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 times, depending on the age. And the concussion people we spoke to later said that that constant jiggling, you know, light, you know, it might have been a light bump.
Yes.
But
it's like watching
just,
a football game and noticing that the players continue to hit helmets. In celebration,
right?
Just what they need is more, and even the micro trauma of bouncing the ball around again doesn't make sense when we understand sometimes what could set things off or can aggravate things. And again, you know, in the world of parenting and parenting coaching, one of the reasons that I was excited to have you contribute is how the coordination of the young athlete themselves, their parents, their coaches, their doctors, and how they, to this day, we can't predict how long it takes to come back from a concussion. As far as we've advanced in so many different areas, let alone in growing kids. So the coordination, again, who better than a family therapist to help coordinate some of that communication and awareness, Kelly?
Yeah, the biggest problem when my son was going through this, because he's in his late 30s now, is we didn't understand concussion syndrome. Nobody was talking about it. They had punch drunk, which is related to boxers. But other than that, nobody was really talking about this stuff. But when my son was just approaching 17, he was graduating from high school early because he wanted to move on to his soccer career in college. And I just started noticing, you know, that, you know, another concussion. Every year he at least had one, some years two or three. It was just this one year I just was like, something's not right. Like all of a sudden his memory started having gaps, uncommon gaps. And I took him to a neurologist, and she approved him for the next game, saying, Well, he doesn't play football, so I don't think it's an issue.
Yes, but boy, has that changed over the years. Again, the awareness, and again, these are the words I make a big deal about on the Sports Doctor, which is awareness and education in the identification of, I have experts on from all over the world, Kellyanne, in the identification on the sidelines, the different mechanisms of sensors and helmets, the whole idea of protocols in treatment, hyperbaric oxygen experts. And just in football, we've seen the explosion of what's gone on in the last 2 months in the whole world of concussions in this whole situation. Yet, again, the exact science, we're not really close yet in being able to deal with these things. So the challenge, I think, really, really continues in the coaching field, in the parenting field, in the medical field, as far as being able to help identify as early as possible, have some sort of baseline that these kids have already gone through. So if there are changes, they can be picked up and then, again, go into that whole discussion. Like you mentioned, the word punch drunk, you know, years ago, of course, first of all, football fought identifying of concussions forever, the National Football League. Hey, how many fingers? Oh, two fingers, go back in the game, all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And you were around at that point in time, weren't you?
Right, right, I sure was. And, you know, one of the things that whenever I work with any families who are dealing with high-performance students or athletes, that's the first thing I say is, you're the parents. You see this every day. You know what they look like when they wake up. You know what they look like when they're done with the game. You see all these little subtle changes, and I saw them. I saw them. I knew at 16, a year before we saw this neurologist, that he was starting to have behavioral changes. What I didn't understand was whether it was just being a teenager or something else.
And it's so multifaceted that in many instances, again, the school systems, the team world have not been well educated on the ability either to take it seriously or to pay attention or identify it. Now, again, we've come a long, long way with those two words, again, awareness on the left, education on the right. But again, to this day, we see a lot of these pressures. There was a great story with the great Chicago Bear Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher, as we're talking about, again, the concussions. And he said, you know, if I got a head ding and I went to the sidelines, I'd tell them my foot hurts because I didn't want to be pulled from the game, you know, or a young athlete who doesn't want to admit it to his parents or coach because he doesn't want to lose their spot. There's all of these other kinds of sides of, you know, these types of challenges. And I would imagine let alone in the world of football, you know, as much as we want to talk, just there is no safe tackle football, period. But soccer doesn't get nearly as much attention, although it's growing the awareness, isn't it? World Cup brought a lot of the attention to the whole idea of the head risks with soccer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and now some of the coaches are telling kids, we're not going to bounce balls off of our head for practice. I mean, just use it in the game when you need to, but we're not going to make it part of our everyday 3-4 times a week practice activity. But, you know, one of the things I wish I could have done, and I tell everybody, give your child another identity besides being an athlete. Because even the television shows I see on kids, like Friday Night Lights, which is a TV show, all these kids struggle with, well, if I'm not the quarterback anymore, if I'm not in this sport anymore, then who am I? And I'll lose all my friends and all, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why they hide it from everybody. Or maybe it's hurting their brains and they don't know that there's changes, but they won't accept it when they hear it from other people. You need to start giving them another identity.
Kellyanne, quickly before the break, what's the best website people to find out about you and your work?
I'm at everydaywisdomforfamilies.com, and that's the number 4, everydaywisdomforfamilies.com.
KKNW Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking family coaching, family health, family strategies, crisscross parenting coach, Kellyanne Peterson, PhD. She raised a very serious soccer-playing son who's dealt with concussion problems ever since his teenage time, and the challenges of dealing with, whether it's coaches, parents, the young athlete themselves. Before the break, we were talking about that, Kelly. So I wanted to ask you, your son, you said, is in his 30s now, how he's doing on this journey of recovery with some of these concussion concerns. How's he doing?
He is still struggling. He went on to play college soccer, and then he went semi-pro afterwards. He was able to hide his injuries pretty well. Eventually he was playing just a fun game with some people. He went up for the ball. The other guy went up for the ball. He went to head the ball in the goal, which he did. He got the score, but at the same time in the process, he got hit on one side from the other player and got his head slammed into the goal post. And that pretty much all three of those hits at once, the ball, the other player, and the goal post, pretty much wiped him out. And he spent 2 years in recovery from that, and that pretty much ended everything. And so now he has residual effects that he has to live with and has learned to live with, and his family has to live with, because by that time he was married, had two children.
Yes. We've come a long way. The good news is we've come a long way. I have many of those experts on the show. I'll be glad to share them with you in the areas of all aspects of treatment. Even with all of that advancement, the tremendous challenges continue. And I'm sure you've been down every avenue that you could find. Some of the mental experts I've had on the show, their specialties are post-injury mental challenges, whether it's coming back from a career-ending injury or dealing with these chronic pain-related kinds of problems. It's ironic what a mental game it is as part of all aspects of the treatment in these areas, as well as the physical sides of things. So we sure as heck wish him well when it comes to the continuing striding for continual improvement in the recoveries. And Kelly, have you found that, you've been through it all, the medical world, the educational world, both high school, college, et cetera, even the serious soccer world, that there's much, much more attention being paid to the whole concussion world?
I think in parts, like my grandson, my son's son, has the same soccer skills, abilities, and his coach doesn't have the kids juggling. And he said he's been teaching them, jump higher, hit the soccer ball with your shoulder instead of your head. You know, learn how to aim with your shoulders. So I do see some positive changes. I really do. So I think they're there, but they're not everywhere. You know what I mean? That's the problem, is they're not everywhere.
You know what's interesting, Kelly? I'll tell you something. 100 years ago, give or take a few weeks, I pushed for helmets for soccer. At the same time, I was pushing for the occasional use of high-top shoes. Can you imagine? So they came after me on about 5 different areas. And I really was talking about, since heading is such a big part of the game and such high-performance soccer is so physical, collision-wise, what about high-tech technology helmet-wise? I still think it should really be paid attention to. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, you just watch the World Cup. I mean, in football, these guys have full equipment. That helps some. They still get injured. In soccer, there's nothing between you and this guy who can kick a ball that's probably going 80, 90 miles an hour bouncing off of your head. Yes. And you're
now, the argument
it
has always been whether it's soccer shoes, which for years were the world's lousiest support of shoes in any sport, because I want to paint on my feet the shoes. I don't want anything that's too bulky, too heavy. I don't want to add. Don't talk to me about helmets. I don't want to add anything, let alone protective gear. But as we've watched, like every other sport, bigger, fast. We watched the World Cup. You took a look at the size of these athletes. Their speed, their power, their strength. You said to yourself, you know, we gotta look at some of these things. But you know, again, tradition, it's very, very difficult. I always say to myself, good luck to me. You know, when we're trying to make pay attention, I have the same argument going on in girls lacrosse. Boys lacrosse has helmets. Girls don't. So I find it very interesting when I talk to experts like yourself, Kellyanne, and I try to brag about all the advantages we've seen, again, in those two words, awareness and education, and then I find out when I talk to experts like yourself where you say, yeah, in part, we're treading water. There's still so much resistance. I find it amazing how still, you know, I don't want to use the pun, we're banging our head against the wall. When I'm using it, right?
Well, and you know, I think one of the places that needs to change first is the appearance of these sports in Hollywood. I know I said a taboo word right there, but even the shows that I watch, even today, you know, these sports kids, they're allowed to go out and get drunk and have crazy, crazy parties like that's normal. They don't have to have equipment because they're the tough guy, you know. I think we need to change some of these images here so when kids are growing up, they don't think that this is normal.
Well, social media, of course, good luck to us all, has dramatically increased all sorts of problems. There's a lot of good sides, but there's horrendous problems. We're all aware of it, of the role of social media, you know, putting so much more pressure many times on some of these kids. I knew we'd fly by. Kellyanne Peterson, Chris Cross, parenting coach. Give us again the website for people to find out all about you and your great work.
It's everydaywisdomforfamilies.com, and that's the number 4.
Everyday Wisdom, number 4, families.com?
Yep, families, plural, yep.
All right, keep up those jumping jacks, Kellyanne.
And, I will, thank you so much.
Absolutely, keep moving. Hold on, thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back, everybody.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. It is the Sports Doctor is in segment. We preview some upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. We brag about the book. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. Quick shout out. My colleague, the famous Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. He represented Elvis Presley. He's celebrating his 50th year. His first sports people were Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali. We're proud to be part of his world. Bruce Merrin, CelebritySpeakers.com. We have great guests coming up in the next few weeks. Dr. Anne White. The calm woman. What a topic. Areas of helping develop include the whole calmness in the crazy world we're living, whether it's high performance sports or not. and chiropractic physician, former pro golfer, Dr. Terry Zachary. He's an expert in hands and wrists, development, strengthening. Think of the sports, whether it's tennis, whether it's baseball, whatever it happens to be, the role of the hands and wrists, key topics. The following week, we're going to get back to the important role of the organization, lower extremity amputation prevention, with Chief RN Coordinator Deborah Slider will be returning. And then we're going to talk with my friend, repetitive guest, the world of massage and reflexology, Somar Massage, with Mike McAleese. Some Bob Guida wisdom, the oscillating balance beam. Think of the balance beam in gymnastics. Except all the edges around it off. It's on the ground, and patients and athletes are walking on, balancing on that oscillating balance beam. I have slides of the best athletes in the world juggling footballs, swinging hockey sticks, playing catch, and moving and balancing on the oscillating balance beam. Disability patients working on strategic balance, including the beam in some of their training. One of our longtime guests, David Buchanan, who is a prodigy of my famous sports therapist, the late Bob Guida, and he's been on talking about his training, how he uses the balance beam. I got a great slide of him and Jim McMahon and John McEnroe working with the oscillating balance beam. Some emails. Tom says, you know, in your book, Hashtag A Sports Parent, you talk about the two essential exercises for young athletes, whatever their sport, whatever their age, whatever their level. Yes, Tom. Those two essential exercise concepts are not to replace everything, but to be included are strengthen the feet and ankles. Rubber bands are a great way to do it. Balance equipment, balance boards, balance beams, mini trampolines, BOSU, the great sand dune stepper. Strengthen those feet and ankles. Ankles continue to be one of our biggest problems. You want to enhance quickness, balance, stability, landing, explosive power. Strengthen those feet and ankles. The other exercise concept, work balance. We just talked about the oscillating balance beam. Include balance training. Have that youngster balancing on the mini tram playing catch, different areas of the tram. Have them standing on tilt boards. Every time you create, we call it instability training. When you create instability, you demand all the stabilizers, the brakes, the balance systems of the body to light up. Stand on one foot, close your eyes and balance. Every muscle in your body lights up. Work balance. So again, strength of feet, ankles, work balance. Jane says, I'm a 45-year-old runner. Just in general, with shoes, is less better. You know, Jane, not necessarily at all. We have found over the 10, 15 years that there's such a big amount of attention to less and less supportive shoes, more and more even barefoot running or less supportive shoes. It depends on the individual. If you are a runner who doesn't have a history of problems and you want to include a lighter shoe, a less structural shoe, I wouldn't argue with you. However, I would go back to the first point. I would strengthen those feet and ankles. You know, regardless, if you have a history of problems, support is very, very important. Heel strike and support, arch support is very important. So we, as a rule, will think it's an advantage to be in a good structured running shoe that's oriented to your foot mechanics. You have excessive pronated flat type feet. You have high arches. Do you have good flexibility? Much more rigidity. All these things go into choosing the shoe. So in general, less is not better. You want to be individualized when it comes to those types of decisions and as to whether or not we like some barefoot running. In all sports, we've always liked it, running barefoot on a golf course where the surface is safe, running on the beach, absolutely. but pay attention to making big moves in running shoe changes. Doug says, my 12-year-old daughter is a figure skater. I just, in general, the role of orthotics, big time, Doug. We have found that orthotics, when it comes to number one preventing problems, low back, posturally, knees, especially knees, 50% of the young girl skaters I've seen over the years in knee trouble. And orthotics are dramatically helpful when done properly. The other big exciting thing, Doug, if she's got even no problems, is if she's talented, you can enhance everything a skater does with proper orthotics. That's my experience over 40 years. Everybody knows my poster boy, 2010 men's Olympic gold medalist, Evan Lysacek. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. 12 years later, he's the best in the world. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skater skates. And I don't have one of them where the coach or parent hasn't said, everything improves, edging, balance, stability, speed, landing stability. So when done properly, you want to pay big, big, big attention to the role of orthotics, and especially if she's had concerns, whether it's heel, foot ankle problems, knee or low back problems. And of course, you want to include proper fit with well-skilled bootmakers. Again, hashtag Hey Sports Parents continues to be a more and more important book as time goes by. All those areas of Sports Parenting 101 by my co-author, Hall of Fame volleyballer Sharky Dartman. What level should your kid be in? What are the options? What are the important parts of coaching and parenting? Part two, all sorts of the sports doctors in. What's the best shoe? What are common problems? What about overuse? What's the role of orthotics? Section three, ask the experts. Nutrition, personal training, mental training, coaching, parenting, all topics where they add their 2 cents when we're talking about parenting the young athlete. And then the final chapter, parents' perspectives, where we have input from many different parents, and many of them have been parents of young athletes of mine as well as radio guests, where we want to be able to do those two things and staying out of trouble. So, again, hey, still continued Happy New Year. See everybody next week. It's Sports Doctor. See ya.